I'm Daniel Chacon. Welcome to another edition of Words on a Wire. Today, I have in the studio not one or two writers, but I have about seven, eight from the looks of it. We're all sitting here in Studio B, and we're going to talk about wandering writers, poets who wander, poets who travel from place to place, and poets who come to places like El Paso and Ciudad Juarez. We are celebrating today the Bellicer Frost Binational Poetry Prize. It is a prize for a Mexican poet and a poet on the U.S. side of the border. And today we have the winning poets. We have Cynthia Guardado, who is the winner of the U.S. side of the prize. Cynthia, welcome to Words on a Wire.
Hello.
And she's also from Fresno, so I'm probably going to favor her in the questions because she got her MFA from Fresno State, which is, wow, that's my home, and everybody I know is in Fresno. In fact, I met you before in Fresno. And then we have another poet from the U.S. side, Lauren Espinosa. And Lauren and I have met in AWP because you're, you know, a big part of the writing community. You're getting poems published in all kinds of places. I read one poem by you about instructions on
how to manage a hangover in the RGV.
And that was so funny and irreverent. I loved it. I fell in love with your work right after reading that. Welcome to Words on a Wire. You're joining us from Arizona.
From Phoenix via the Valley.
Well, welcome. Either one of you ever been to UTEP before?
No, never been to UTEP.
Well, good. Well, welcome. I'm glad you're here. And then we have Maria Teresa Lopez Avedoy, and she is from Tijuana. Welcome to Words on a Wire. Welcome to El Paso. Welcome to Juarez. Is this your first time in Las Ciudades Gemelas?
Sí, Daniel.
And what do you think so far? you could speak in Spanish. She's going to speak in Spanish because Daniela Armijo, my co-host, is here, and she's going to translate. So please, speak in Spanish.
Tenía ganas de venir. Me gusta.
And you're a poet. Have you published books yet?
Sí.
How many have you published?
Creo que cuatro. O tres. No estoy segura. Porque es que no sé si cuentan las pequeñas plaquettes. A mí me gustan las plaquettes, pero casi siempre el libro le decimos cuando son más cuartillas, ¿no, Luis? Entonces, creo que unos...
Well, I suppose it counts if you feel like it counts. And we also have one of Juarez's most respected literary activists and poets, Enrique Cortázar, author of multiple books of poems, friend of probably every huge Mexican writer you can think of and Chicano writer. He spent time like doing tequila shots with the big ones and. And he's writing about it. He's writing about all these encounters you've had. Enrique, welcome to Words on a Wire.
Gracias, Daniel. I'm so pleased to be here in El Paso. As you see, my English is not the best of the world, but I want to try to do my best. Yes, I'm working and living in Juarez for many years, and I'm so familiar with El Paso area.
Right.
And it's something very, very good that we could this contest between El Paso and Juarez and UTEP and the Universidad de Ciudad Juárez y el Centro Cívico ESMART, que es el que inicia este tipo de concursos. Right. Y gracias por los apoyos. Thank you for the support you gave us.
Well, you're hitting on the key of why we're all here. I mean, I would like to talk to all of the poets about... traveling as a poet, you know, where do you find time to write when you travel? Because one of the things that we know is as poets, we have to go places in order to spread our work. You just got back from Medellin. I guess you traveled to Medellin and all kinds of different places. And I know, Cynthia, you're peripatetic as well. But that's why we're all together, because of this prize, the Bellicer Frost Poetry Prize. And Enrique is the coordinator on the Mexican side, on the Juarez side. And S-Smart, who is sponsoring the whole thing and been incredibly generous. And Enrique asked the Department of Creative Writing to coordinate this side. And so we're very happy to have this collaboration, not only with the university, and not only with the literary community and not only with S-Smart, but just that we're putting Mexican and Latino poets together, I think is really a beautiful, powerful thing. And also in the studio, I'm not done yet. Also in the studio, we have Luis Armenta. He is the publisher of Mantis Editoriales. They are a publication company out of Guadalajara, I believe, and they are putting together an anthology of all the winning poets. Thank you for joining us, Luis.
A ustedes, gracias.
And this is not your first time in Juárez.
No, no. Esta es la segunda vez que vengo aquí a la universidad a leer.
Oh, well, perfect.
Y en Juárez he estado, ¿qué? Unas 15 ocasiones.
Wow, 15.
Sí, en el Festival del Bravo, de Jorge Humberto Chávez, en algunas otras lecturas y festivales.
Oh, so you're at the Literatura en el Bravo Festival that yes. They have every year, which I participated in both years, and it was a fantastic event. And okay, so we might have actually ran into each other once or twice. You never know. We just forgot each other. Okay, so let me start off by just asking everybody, I'll start with you, Lauren. Give us a little bit of your background and how you got into poetry and why you became a poet and everything you can about you and poetry.
Okay, so I could do minutes. That. Yeah, 2 minutes. I'm from the Rio Grande Valley. I grew up in the Rio Grande Valley. And I guess my approach to poetics comes a lot. My grandfather and grandmother, my abuelitos were braceros. And so the way that I envision poems is like the way that my grandfather planted lines of oranges in the groves. So are the lines of a poem. And then each time, each word is like a little orange. And so then when you put the whole book together, when you put the poem together, you have a bunch of orange trees that have developed, you know, over the course of a book.
Oh, that's a beautiful metaphor. It sounds like it's something that is dear to you and that value, that thinking of a book that way and thinking of poetry that way. And I'm wondering if that metaphor is what might give shape to your first book or if it's something that you want to carry with you throughout. Until you're...
Yeah, I think the metaphor is something I want to carry throughout. Also the same idea of like the beads on a rosary and how you meditate on them and hold them in your hand. But I think also my first book, I have two collections right now. One of them is kind of dealing with the unpacking of the Bracero program as it relates to my father, the reason that he's in the U.S., as well as kind of how that has shaped me. Being that my abuelitos basically died from the Bracero program because they were so close to the crop dusting that they developed cancer due to that. Mm-hmm. So just kind of rectifying these things where, like, I'm in the U.S. for this reason, but these family members have died for the same reason.
Wow, that's really beautiful. That's quite, I love that focus. I mean, you know where you want to go and you know where you want your poetry to go. You know, and your connection with community is really important. I'm wondering, is this your first time in Ciudad Juárez? You flew into Ciudad Juárez last night?
No, we flew into El Paso. And then, yeah, it's my first time, you know. But I'm familiar with, like, the other, the Reynosa, Progreso area. And so it's just completely different.
But the more you travel, does it tie you even more closely to your earth, to where you came from?
Yes, definitely. I was just talking to, I forget who, about how I've about how I've been out of town like almost every weekend this month because I've been traveling for conferences and things. Right. And every time I like feel like I gain more. So it's just like I add these little layers to myself as like the more I travel and the more I can do comparative work.
Wow. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you came into poetry and a little background too. Cynthia Guardado, by the way, I'm talking to, the winning poet for the U.S. side.
So I started writing poetry as an undergrad at UC Santa Cruz. I did the creative writing emphasis there. But I feel like I wasn't ready for it. Poetry may have been ready for me, but I wasn't. and so I wouldn't let myself become vulnerable in order to write it. And then I graduated from my program and I went to Washington, D.C. And when I went there, I was at my aunt's house only 3 weeks when her husband died in the house with us because he is an alcoholic. And that was really like that experience of like having someone die in the house and being woken up to like your aunt giving them CPR and like asking for your help. That's really what sort of pushed me back to writing. That experience, I started to write a poem about her husband, and then halfway through the poem, I realized it was about my grandfather. And that's sort of like where it went. And so most of my work comes from processing trauma and grief, which is why my full-length collection, Endeavor, is about like social justice and race and violence against women, and it's very U.S.-centric. But my collection, which is Unpublished, which is the one that won, Cenizas, is all about El Salvador and the war and my family and our grief and our death and our migration.
Wow.
So that's really where my writing comes from. It really stems from this extremely, like, vulnerable, dark place, which so I really had a huge transformation, right, where I wouldn't write anything vulnerable until I let myself open my heart to poetry and let it do what it was supposed to do.
You know, the U.S. poet Rigoberto Gonzalez, he's one of the major U.S. poets alive today, was the judge for the U.S. side of the contest. People were able to turn up to, I think, 40 pages of poems. And so almost everybody put together a manuscript that was like a chapbook. Yours was called Cenizas.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Rigoberto wrote about it. He says, Cenizas is a powerful book of poetic testimonies that bear witness to the atrocities of El Salvador, where the ghosts of the dead are still learning how to die. And then what you were saying about being in that house and your uncle dying and then being around so much grief, and it seems that there's a lot that death, it really plays a large part in the way your poetic impulse, I guess.
Yeah, it does. It's, I always say, if it was not for poetry, I would not have my mental health, because I wouldn't have any other way to expel all of these things that I carry with me.
Right.
The thread sort of continued my first semester at Fresno State. At the end of the semester, I was like getting ready to drive back to L.A., and my mom called me, and I was actually pulling up to the old Review parking lot, and she called me to tell me that my cousin had been murdered.
Oh, wow.
And so that's how my first semester at Fresno State ended, and so that continued to shape right, my writing and then the direction that it went.
Wow. It seems like Fresno was a good spot for you, because Fresno has a really weird relationship with death, I think. And I won't go into that, because that would be too Fresno-centric for this show. Okay, I want to ask Tere a question, but every time I look over there, she goes, no, don't ask me a question. And but please feel free to answer in Spanish. 99.9% of our listeners understand Spanish. And for the point one that doesn't, Daniela will translate, okay? But we were having this beautiful conversation on the walk over here, and you do something that I've never heard before, but just seems like, wow, if this is like something that could really feed the heart, the soul of a poet, you investigate public libraries. You go into different libraries and you... Well, tell us a little bit about what it is that attracts you to public libraries. Why are you so passionate about them?
Francamente, pensaba que era una cuestión que tenía que ver como con ayudar a la comunidad. Y la primera vez hice como una tesis sobre la localización urbana, un rollo así. La segunda vez hice un trabajo sobre cómo ayuda a la biblioteca pública a las personas que van en su vida cotidiana, un rollo. Pero como tenía que ser teórico, esto de ciencias sociales, entonces trabajé algo que se llama desarrollo de capacidades, el desarrollo humano, etcétera. Cuando tuve que hacer la tercera tesis, que estuve un año en una biblioteca pública, lunes a domingo, y era fantástico, después de terminar el trabajo de campo, iba con una amiga en el autobús y empezamos a conversar, y le digo, creo que nunca he hecho tarea en una biblioteca pública. Creo que lo que siempre he ido a hacer a la biblioteca pública es a leer poesía, desde los 7, 8 años. Y no me había dado cuenta. Entonces, después dije, wow, creo que esto tiene que ver. Yo siempre separaba, ¿no? Cuando eran esos trabajos como para proyectos de escritura, pues hacía eso, pero lo hacía en la biblioteca. Y cuando estaba haciendo trabajo de campo en cuestiones de biblioteca pública, acababa agarrando libros de poesía, como, bueno, voy a descansar una hora, y me ponía a leer tramposamente, y pensaba que eso no estaba bien, porque estaba como agarrando un tiempo del trabajo de campo para cosas que no eran. Y al final me di cuenta que era lo mismo, ¿no? Pero me costó como muchos años darme cuenta que siempre tenía que ver con poesía y biblioteca, ¿no? Y tengo tiempo pensando en eso.
Daniela, do you want to put that in a nutshell? Can you outline some of the main ideas of that?
Being in the public libraries, she realized that she was unconsciously spending the time there dedicating it to poetry. So, but it was not her main project. Her main project was to investigate the space and the community.
Yeah,
but then she like incorporated that into her experience as a poet.
Yeah, and it's interesting to enter into the a public library and to connect with the community in that way, and to connect, really, your relationship is visceral. It comes through poetry anyway, you know? And you were talking about the most beautiful library you'd ever seen in Medellin when we were walking over here, and you were saying something about seeing an old man in his 70s on a Saturday or a Sunday, I forget, making copies of Baudelaire poems. And this guy was a bricklayer. And it's that spirit of poetry, I guess, that attracts you to this project or something? I mean, what is it about the people and poetry that connect you?
Pues supongo que es lo humano. Lo que pasa es que separamos, pero siempre están ahí esas búsquedas o conexiones, ¿no? De pronto, quizá porque como somos muy lectores o nos clavamos, pensamos que la persona que no te habla de poesía todo el tiempo es porque no la lee, pero sí, lo que pasa es que no te enteras mucho, creo.
Eso me hizo pensar de El Salvador. En El Salvador hay muchos poetas campesinos. Por todos lados encuentras a alguien que dice que es un poeta. Y yo no entendía eso hasta que fui a El Salvador a quedarme por 2 meses para hacer investigaciones. Y todos lados que iba, yo estaba quedándome con un sacerdote que era amigo de la familia. Y entonces el sacerdote siempre me le decía a la gente, oh, ella Cintia es una poeta. Entonces rapiditamente la gente decía, oh, yo también soy poeta. Entonces me encontré con muchos poetas por todos lados.
Yeah, poetry can come from anywhere. It can come from the fields. It can come from an abanil. It can come from, because it really is something, you know, at the risk of sounding corny, it's something that, you know, from the human spirit, the human soul, that yearning or whatever you label you want to give it. Luis, you're a poet in Mexico. You're from Guadalajara. You've come to Juarez, you've been to Juarez at least 15 times, so I imagine every now and then you encounter a pocho like me, somebody who, you know, whose Spanish is really bad, yet who has this yearning to connect with both sides of my reality. And I'm wondering what you think the relationship is between Mexican poetry and Latino poetry, U.S. Latino poetry.
No, es de nuestras primeras incursiones como editor con la poesía de latinos en Estados Unidos. Habíamos publicado nada más a Benjamin Alire Sáenz.
Oh, nice. We're a very good friend of mine.
La relación más bien era con poetas de habla inglesa, ¿no? Scott Hightower, que nos preparó una muestra de poesía de mujeres norteamericanas, pero no hay latinas en la muestra, por ejemplo. Esta oportunidad con Enrique Cortázar de publicar el libro de ganadores es la primera ocasión así formal, oficial, en que nos acercamos mucho a la poesía latina en Estados Unidos. Estoy muy complacido con lo que hemos leído. Me gusta este balance de hombres y mujeres de distintos registros. Y sobre lo que se decía de la condición humana, que es lo que permite trabajar con los poemas, tenemos una relación bastante más cercana con Canadá, por ejemplo, con la poesía francófona. Tenemos ya desde el 1999 trabajando con ellos, 60 poetas quebequenses publicados y traducidos en México. Y yo esperaría que esto que estamos iniciando ahora se continúe, si no de una manera tan absorbente, tan extendida, sí, de mucho más continua.
This is the first time he publishes Latin authors in the USA, although in the past, they published a collection of English poetry, right? Like U.S. Uh-huh. poetry. But there was no Latinos there. So he's willing to have this kind of projects in the future.
That's great. And Enrique, you have been on the border for many years, and you know Chicano writing. You're a good friend of a lot of Chicano writers, as well as Mexican writers. How do you think, what is the relationship between the Latino, U.S. Latino writers and the Mexican poets?
Well, I have been very close friend of people like Tino Villanueva, like Jim Santiago Vaca. We have published several books, bilingual books, with these poets, with Tino Villanueva, with Jim Santiago Vaca, with Sandra Cisneros. Now we're trying to publish something with Margarita Cota Cárdenas. We are working right now in this field, and I'm going to ask my friend Armenta to review this kind of, you know, poets, so we can make this through Mantis Editores, this bilingual editions, bilingual books. Pues tengo un gran aprecio porque viví mucho tiempo en Texas, en San Antonio. Viví en El Paso, viví en Phoenix. Y tengo un gran aprecio por la cultura mexicoamericana, chicana, y por sus autores, ¿no? Pintores, escritores, académicos. Siempre trabajé junto con ellos, muy, como ahora contigo. Como ahora, like now we are working with you. So I'm so pleased and so happy that we can do this kind of links. No?
Absolutely, and I think right now it's crucial. As poets, you know, and when I say poets, I'm going to call myself a poet, not because I write poetry. Well, I do write very bad poetry, but because I think that this dichotomy of poets and writers that we use in U.S. English is kind of ridiculous. You know, with poets and writers is the same thing. You know, so I'll just call us all poets because there was a time when fiction and poetry was, you know, the same thing. I think right now it's even not only more critical, but it's more evident that the necessity of Mexican writers and even Latin American writers, writers from Colombia, writers from Nicaragua, but, you know, writers from all of Latin America and Latino writers from the U.S. have some sort of unity, because we're fighting not only domestic arrogance and racism, but we're fighting a whole international climate, I think, that is going to empower us more if we're unified, you know, rather than if we're stratified, especially not even letting language do that anymore. Because here I am speaking in English, and everybody here, you know, some people are responding in Spanish, some people are, but we all understand each other. And I think that kind of relationship is fundamental, and which is why this prize is so important.
Absolutely.
Cynthia Guardado, you are the U.S. winner of the prize. The Mexican winner couldn't be here. His name is Arturo Loera. He couldn't be here, unfortunately. But Cynthia, when did you find out about the prize, and how did it make you feel?
So it's a funny story, because here comes Fresno again. I was actually in Fresno when you called me to tell me that I had won. I was standing at the Circle K on Palm and Olive. I was pumping my car, and then at the same time I had realized there was a nail in my tire, and my tire was flat. And when you called, I answered the phone, and I started going, as soon as I talked to you very calmly, and as soon as I hung up, I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And everyone at the gasoline station thought I was upset about the flat tire.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And then they were like, it's okay, there's a tire shop nearby. But I was just so excited about having won the prize, because I worked so hard on all of those poems. They're the ones I started writing back in 2009. So Endeavor is really my second collection, but it's the first thing that was published. So I've had those poems with me for so long, since 2009. So I was so, so ecstatic that they're being recognized in such a wonderful way. And to win a prize that's hosted by Mexico, to me, is very powerful. As a Salvadorian who has grown up in LA, that's very Mexican-centric, right? and my spaces always are. It's very nice to win this prize and feel like welcomed by my work is being welcomed by Mexico.
Wow. Well, that's interesting, because you are from El Salvador, but you're also from Los Angeles, as you said. It's kind of Mexican-centric.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, I imagine in the past a lot of people have said, oh, well, she's a Chicana activist, a Chicana poet.
Exactly. And I'm like, actually. But I eat more Mexican food than I eat Salvi food, so it all works out.
Lauren, you're working on a book. You haven't got one published yet, but you're working on it. It sounds like a beautiful book. Do you have a title yet?
It's called, the current iteration is called Before the Body.
Do you have a full manuscript at this point?
I do. I had two competing ideas, and so I had to divorce them. They were like two siblings that were fighting all the time. Uh-huh. So now there's two manuscripts. The second one doesn't have a title.
You're full of metaphors for your books, aren't you?
I guess.
And it's
poet, right?
And that's fantastic.
Yeah, I try. Do my best.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And your next book? What's your next book going to be? I'm talking now to Teresa.
En estos tres meses aproveché para digamos, armar estos dos que tenía pensados, pero no resueltos. Y sí, tengo uno que se llama Antidio, como esta es la clasificación de bibliotecas, es Antidio. Y otro que ahorita no me acuerdo cómo le pusimos.
So you're always writing. How do you write when you travel, Luis?
No escribo cuando viajo. Mm. Tengo un ritmo muy rápido. Yo hago un libro en una semana o en un mes. Tardo mucho en revisarlo. Tardo 5 o 6 años en revisar un libro, pero el libro sale muy rápido. Entonces, me permite viajar y
You hold it inside for 5 years.
Sí, la revisión
let it
es lo,
out.
Lo más divertido, entonces la prolongo.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's a good practice. That's interesting. What about you, Cynthia? Do you write when you travel?
Yes and no. Mostly no, right? But I'm one of those poets that if I get an idea and I do not write this down right now, I'm a very spontaneous writer, that I will forget. Oh. So I have written poems on index cards, in my phone, on a back of a receipt, just anywhere where I'm not going to forget the poem. And then I go home and I type it up or it sits in this stack of handwritten things I have until I have time. But mostly if I'm going to be like, writing, revising, I sometimes go run a cabin in the woods and do that for a whole weekend. And just
a metaphorical cabin or a literal cabin?
A literal cabin in the woods.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm over here talking to the wandering poets. They wander and they share their poetry. And we're talking about, when do you have time to write and how do you write? But it sounds like your suggestion, Luis, or what you do is, you write maybe, every now and then, but you keep it in for a long time and you sometimes let it out immediately. And you're traveling and you're writing. I think one of the things to remind yourself is that when you go into Juarez, for example, or you go into Medellin or you go into, wherever it is that you travel to, you're not there to write about where you are. And when you do that immediately, you kind of somehow weaken your relationship with that place because you're immediately trying to represent it and filter it through your own understanding. Whereas it may be 5 years from now, maybe a year from now, maybe 6 months from now, that a Juarez El Paso poem is going to come out of you. Because writing, traveling reminds us of where we come from.
Yeah, I'm still trying to write a poem about the feeling of, for example, earlier I was like, oh, wow. And they were like, what? Because we're standing on the bridge and I could see Juarez and just being so close to like the separation between two countries. Mm-hmm. It's still this phenomenal feeling I don't understand how to process, right? Because we're so constantly being told in the United States how different we are, right. And how foreign Mexicans are and how we're constantly being told like, as a government is constantly painting them as a negative image or our enemy, right? But here we are, we can just see each other. Right?
That's beautifully said. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and say goodbye to my guest. I'd like to thank Daniela Armijo Gonzalez. Thank you for being here as interpreter. The way we had planned it is that it was going to be like this United Nations type of interpretation, but it didn't work out that way because once poets start talking, you got to let them follow the rhythm. Because if you do that, just say, excuse me, stop, I want to translate, it loses something. So if you do have trouble understanding the Spanish, you can go online and look at our podcast, Words on a Wire and KTEP, and listen to it over and over and over. Invite your Spanish-speaking friends inside to translate for you. But what these poets said was awesome, and I'm very honored to be able to sit with Cynthia Guardado, Lauren Espinosa, Luis Armenta, Enrique Cortázar, María Teresa Alevoy. I'd like to thank our producer, Lauren Terrazas, and thank you again, Daniela, for being here. I'm Daniel Chacon. See you next week on Words on a Wire.